fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue today where I left off yesterday, talking about what God has done for us, talking about how we can live each day in ever-increasing understanding of our fundamental identity in Christ, which will lead to a transformation of life in us. It's so easy to begin each day filled with anxieties and concerns and worries. And that's part of the human condition and the human struggle. But we can deal with those circumstances each day much more effectively if we begin putting first things first. And always and everywhere, the point I want to make this whole week, I'm going to say it again and again, is the most important thing we can do is to begin with what matters most. And what matters most is not what I'm supposed to do, but what God has done for me. That's the starting point, the foundation of my life. And it's a life lived in faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a new way of living. Literally, Scripture talks about it in that way, that we've been given a new power and a new capacity in the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism when we've become, by virtue of God's grace, by virtue of His gift to us, He's made us His children. He's adopted us. He's brought us into His family. And we've been given an entirely new identity. We're not enemies of God. We're not alienated. We're not isolated. And we're so much more than just, I'm a businessman, I'm an athlete, I'm white, I'm black, I'm gay, whatever titles we give ourselves and we anchor our identity in and say, this is who I am and everybody needs to receive me in this way. This is what I'm asserting about myself in the world. It's a backwards way to do it. It's not going to last. It's not deep enough. It doesn't take in or comprehend everything that you are, because everything that you are is not what you've made yourself to be. Everything you are can only come from the one who designed you. You are who you are because of the one who made you. The fundamental realities about you, that is. We hang our identity hat on secondary things, tertiary things, things that change, and sometimes things that are just false. They're just not true. All of it will leave us empty. And that's why there's so much frustration in our culture and so much anger around and a need to make sure that everybody accepts my identity the way I want it to be defined. And why there's so much energy wasted, why we literally now use the force of law to force human beings to accept the identity that we've created for ourselves, that we want to project into the world. There's a kind of colluding that goes on, and we're so insecure about who we actually are, and that makes sense because we're making it up. I mean, it doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter necessarily what others may tell you what they think you ought to be. The fact is, you already are something. You are made by God. You're a human being. You're made in the image and likeness of God. And the facts about your life are what Jesus reveals to you about who you are. Not just to people who believe in Him, but Jesus came for the whole world. Jesus came literally for every single human being that will ever walk this planet. Every child that's conceived in the womb, Jesus came for everyone. Because everyone literally is lost. Cannot see clearly, cannot understand, is born into a state of alienation and separation from God. That's the root of all our trouble, of all our confusion, of all our warring and anxiety and fear. That's the core of it. Jesus came to name it and identify it and to say, here's the root problem. You're alienated from your Father in heaven. You don't know who you are. You've constructed worlds that are an illusion. You've constructed identities that will pass away. And they're very fragile because they depend on you, their maker. And if we, deep down, if we know we are the source of our identity and that we've created ourselves and projected ourselves into the world, we know deep down that it's fragile. Why? Because it's make-believe. Why? Because I made it up. Because I designed it. And I don't even know where I've come from. I don't even know why I'm here. So I'm just asserting myself into space and time and saying, this is who I am. This is what I am. These are my values. And everyone must acknowledge them as true. The greatest lover of humanity that ever walked the earth, love incarnate, would never validate that. He loves us too much to validate a lie. He's not going to let us live in delusion, in a false sense of identity, because he knows what's behind it. He knows the principalities and powers that are at work, and the power of sin that's at work, separating us from God, from our identity, and for our ultimate destiny. That's what Jesus came for. He came for that. He came to deal with that problem. We don't even see it. Sometimes the most proud among us, the most powerful, the most successful, are just so swimming in their own honors and their own pomp that they can't even see their own slavery and the emptiness. It's an empty shell. It's going to pass away. And how it can completely miss the fundamental identity that they've meant to live in. And even in our boasting and in our achievement, and you could literally be in this world at the top of the mountain in terms of people's perception. You could be the wealthiest person on the planet. You could be the most attractive person, the most highly honored person. You could be the most powerful person, the most influential person. You could have all that combined. And you can completely miss your purpose for being here on earth. You could completely miss the grace that God wants to offer you so that you can have existence beyond death. And you could literally end life an absolute and total failure. It wouldn't matter if there was a museum in every city in the United States to you, recalling all the achievements that you've made on this earth. If you die apart from Christ, if you die not knowing what Jesus has brought to the world, to this earth, the knowledge of God, the salvation of sins, the power to overcome the alienation with God, and to receive what it means to become a son of God or a daughter of God, that's the gold that's in this world. That's the news that's worth listening to every day. It's the good news of Christ. I ended yesterday's program reading a quote from Pope Benedict XVI on the core of the Christian faith. He said, in its innermost essence, the Christian faith is a participation in the act whereby Jesus sees. His act of seeing makes possible his word, which is the authentic expression of what he sees. That is, Jesus sees the Father. Jesus sees fallen humanity. Jesus sees the enemy, Satan, seeking to destroy the human race. Jesus sees the world that's fallen and also under sin. Jesus sees what God the Father has made human beings to be and the distance between that and who we actually are. Jesus sees the way forward in his offering of his life to conquer sin and death through absolute love, trust, and obedience to the Father by dying on a cross for us. That's what Jesus sees, and he comes to proclaim it. And what he sees is the place from which his word comes. He comes to tell us about God, tell us about who we actually are, tell us about the truth, about what's really valuable in this world, so we don't live a life of futility and stupidity and ignorance and running after things that are less than ourselves and trying to find our identity in things that will pass. The Holy Father goes on, he said, accordingly, what Jesus sees is the point of reference for our faith. The specific place where our faith is anchored. So the question is, where are you anchored? What anchors your life? Is your faith anchored in what Jesus sees? Or is it what I think a lot of people demonstrate? As you look at statistics about how most baptized Catholics live today, most baptized Catholics live no differently than people who don't even believe in God. That means they're not seeing what Jesus sees. That means whatever faith they may imagine they have is certainly not a faith that's anchored in what Jesus sees, the truth. But it's anchored in the world. It's having one foot in the world and maybe a toe in the kingdom. It's, I'm following, as St. Paul said, the course of this world, following the principalities and powers of this fallen world. I'm radically pursuing the approval of the world, a pathway that the world gives for success and for identity and for being a somebody. That's not anchoring our faith, our way of seeing in Christ, and therefore it's anchored in the world. There's only two places, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy. And much of what the world is caught up in is the values of the kingdom of the enemy, of God's enemy, your enemy. And so we clothe ourselves in the world, in the habit patterns of the world. And we pursue the things of the world, money, sex, power, influence, honor, fame. We have to have these things. And boy, do we get angry when people attack or take those things away from us. Or I see this for years, seeing this even as a parent being tempted. If in some way our child is not first or recognized as first, or in some way our child is overlooked, it can absolutely fill a parent with anger. I've seen it. I know it. And they're angry because it affects them. They feel bad for their child, but often what's caught in it is it's a reflection on them. It affects their identity, and they're angry. And so they strike out in some way. When stuff like that happens, it reveals to us what our faith is anchored in. Is it anchored in the truth that Christ sees, the truth that Christ is? Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus sees the Father. He sees the Father, the ground of everything, the source of everything, the source of all that is good, the one who defines and designs all that is. And it is good. Jesus said, look at me. To see me is to see the Father. Do you want to know where you've come from? Look at me. Listen to me. Follow me. Do you want to know where you're going? Follow me. Do you want to live a life that's consistent with your nature? Come follow me. Do you want to find happiness? Follow me. Do you want peace, joy? Do you want eternal life? Eternal joy forevermore? Jesus, I can give it to you. Where is it? It's with the Father. And the Father wants to give it to you. And I've made it possible for you to receive it. Because you've been born again. You've become a child of God. This is the great value of your life. This is the gift, the goal that you possess from God, which can never be taken away. The apostles sing about it and they live in it, and you too can live in it. It'll change your life. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.